This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. It is a throwback Thursday today, and it wasn't a throwback Thursday last night. It wasn't a throwback Wednesday, I should say, last night, because we watched the NBA draft with the same look that we got earlier in the year in 2020 when we did the NFL draft. Everybody's on location. Nobody's going up to get a hug from the commissioner. Nobody's putting on a hat and jumping up and down on stage. But you know what? Let's pull that aside for a second and give credit to the technical producers that had to pull that off for television. The people who did it in the NFL draft did a great job. If they're the same people, you did it again. If they're not and new people did it, you did a great job last night. You know, you got to do what you got to play the cards that you're dealt. And that's the way the television production side of it looks. But in the end, Anthony Edwards goes number one overall to Minnesota. And then you waited for where the other picks were going to go. James Wiseman went to Golden State. And then LaMelo Ball went to the Charlotte Hornets. A bit of surprise as Patrick Williams of Florida State, he went fourth to the Chicago Bulls. A lot of people didn't like that pick. I didn't really either, but Billy Donovan has got a team. Billy Donovan is the coach of the Bulls. He left Oklahoma City because the Thunder are rebuilding and the Bulls are on the way up. So that's why people were a little shocked. You have the fourth overall pick. You've got a team that you feel like could make a run at a playoff. You've got Billy Donovan who wants to continue to progress a team in the postseason, grow with a team, not rebuild a team. And you went with a pick that's it's either hit or miss with Patrick Williams. But in the end, the draft didn't produce as much. There's a few surprises that were in there, but not much, at least from my analysis. You can be nitpicky, which we are, in terms of selections. Does this fit? Does this not fit? But in the end, you got to look at the big picture with some of these NBA teams. If you are battling for bigs, for example, if you got three or four bigs already in your lineup, what is going on behind the scenes in terms of jettison one or the other? We're going to go over the draft and have some thoughts on that. We'll also get into the Thursday night football matchup between Seattle and Arizona tonight, a really good one for the NFC West. But it is a throwback Thursday, so what do we have in store for you today? Stick around. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is a throwback Thursday, and this is 1978. On this date, it was the Miracle at the Meadowlands, a game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants, where the Giants were leading 17-12, and all they had to do was kneel down. That was it. And they would have won. And they would have evened up their record at 6-6. Now, that was still an outside shot for the postseason, but it was trending in the right direction. All Joe Pisarcik had to do was kneel down. Simple. And the game was over. But he botched the snap and tried to botch a handoff to Larry Zonka. It fumbled. And guess who picked it up and ran it in for an Eagles touchdown? The one and only Herm Edwards. Here's the call from CBS television back then.
Play and the clock winding down below that. As the clock winds out on the Philadelphia Eagles, a game they thought would project them into a possible wild card position. It would bring them 7-5 had they won. But a late interception by the Giants will preserve a Giant victory. An upset win as the Giants lead 17-12. We're inside 30 seconds. The Eagles have no timeouts. Wait a minute. Here's a free foot. I don't believe it. The Eagles pick it up and Herman Edwards runs it in for a touchdown.
That's Don Crickey on the call from CBS back then. I got to tell you, as a play-by-play guy, that had to have been shocking, because you get into a mode at the end of the games where you want to stay a little sharp because you know something can happen, but 99% of your brain is already in, let's just wind this up and get to the post game.
Yeah, you're recapping.
You're recapping. So you're projecting ahead. Okay, this game's over. When we get back, we're going to talk about the player of the game or whatever it is they did back in the broadcast. I know in radio, you would probably just wrap it up before you send it to the studio or whatnot, but you're heading into that direction. You do want to stay sharp, okay, but you're expecting a kneel down. And you're expecting the game to be over.
That's my question. Because, you know, watching this highlight, did they kneel down back then?
I don't know, because he was trying to hand the ball off. Why would you do that?
It looked like a designed running play.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm trying to remember. I'm like, why wouldn't you just kneel down?
And the Eagles had no timeouts. So yeah. You're just trying to get moving and then go through. So the Eagles, again, you heard it in Cricky's call. The Eagles were trying, you know, they needed to win the game to sort of keep a playoff berth alive, but they were heading towards a loss, and that would have put them at 6-6, and the Giants would have been 6-6. So you would have been competing for the Giants, and, you know, it's kind of a mess. You know, you just, all right, this stinks. It's a late interception, and then here's the miracle at the Meadowlands, and Herm Edwards saves the season. And they did go on to the postseason. They did go on to the playoffs that year. So that happened in 1978, and that's your Throwback Thursday. So a lot of groovy 70s hits expected on the show today. We could have gone in a number of directions. The Malice at the Palace was on this date back in 2004.
I remember that.
Yeah, remember that? How Ron Artest, and who else was in that? Who else was in that? There was a whole bunch of them. It was a couple of guys from the Pacers, Jermaine O'Neal.
But we only remember Ron Artest going.
Yeah, because he went after a fan. Yeah, because he went after a fan who threw a cup at him.
He went for it.
He did. Jermaine O'Neal was in it. Was Ben Wallace in it as well? So there's a whole bunch of players. So Malice in the Palace. Also could have done 2018, the Monday night battle between Kansas City and the Rams from just 2 years ago. That was this classic. It was supposed to be in Mexico, and then they moved it. Because of COVID back then, because of the hips. Was it Shakira? Some hips ruined it. Concert ruined the stadium. Because the NFL didn't have a handle on things, making sure that Shakira didn't perform at the stadium in which they were going to be playing in a few weeks or days, whatever it was. It was a pretty quick switcheroo. Like, it kind of went, we're not going there. That field stinks. Nice job. But that was 2 years ago. But we went with the Miracle at the Meadowlands because things like that in history are fun.
Yeah, and it's a long time we haven't had 70s music.
Plus we look for some 70s tunes. That's the other thing when we decide on Throwback Thursday. It's like, what era haven't we done in a while? 70s music back then. All right, so the NBA draft last night. Again, I said this at the top of the hour. Because of COVID, we got the same look of the draft last night as we did in the NFL. But we got pretty much the same thing, which is, look, trades happen in every draft, right? If you follow Major League Baseball, for example, it happens all the time. Major League Baseball has like 75 rounds, right?
Yeah.
Just forever.
So does anyone really pay attention to the trades? No.
They take every player that's ever played college baseball or amateur baseball, and then they deal them like Pokemon cards.
Every once in a while you get the hey, I'm going to select this guy as a favor to my friend.
That's right.
Lasorda, my Piazza.
Exactly.
That one actually worked out, though.
That did work out. That's
the other
right.
ones you never hear about.
And the NFL, of course, does it's the same thing. When you get into Saturday and Sunday, you know, those rounds, commissioner goes up, the so-and-so's traded the pick, blah, 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 blah.
That's why earlier in the day when the Knicks traded up, was it the Knicks? Yeah, the Knicks traded up for a pick. That didn't make any sense to me.
What, because you could just do that anyway?
Well, I mean, how do you project who's going to be available 5, 6, 7 hours before the draft actually happens?
And
that's such a Nick thing to do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Epstein needs to go clean it up.
And so in the NFL, we get those kind of trades, but we don't get them on Thursday very often. Very often, we do occasionally, but not very often do we get a bevy of trades and movements on the Thursday night primetime showcase. So a trade may happen later, but the reality is the guy you get is you pretty much get a feeling that that's the guy you're going to have.
Right.
But that's not the case in the NBA. The NBA, trades happen constantly, all the time, because there's only two rounds and it's only one day. So you get a guy, you better hold on because you don't know where that guy is going to end up. So if you're, let's say, New Orleans, for example, and you take Kyra Lewis out of Alabama, that may make you feel good, right? He's a good point guard. You may feel like, hey, man, I got a good player. Hold on, because he might be shipped in a few minutes. And sometimes, like back in the old days, those guys were shipped as they were walking to the stage wearing the hat of the team that picked them, and everybody in the broadcast booth knows he's not playing for them, except him. He knows later that he's going to be traded to, I don't know, Portland or something like that. So, but that's what happens in the NBA. There's a lot of moving and a lot of dealing. I'll just give you one example. The Oklahoma City Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder were really busy last night. Really busy. And here's why. They were busy because they're a rebuilding team. Right? That's all they want to do is they want to rebuild. They want to start fresh, and they want, you know, like I said earlier, Billy Donovan had left, his contract ran out, didn't want to re-sign, wanted to move on to a team that had playoff aspirations the second he got there, and he went with the Bulls. This Oklahoma City Thunder team are just doing the opposite, right? They shipped out Chris Paul. Dennis Schroeder went to the Lakers. They picked up Emmanuel Quickley of Kentucky, but, you know, put him in a trade bin, and then he went to Minnesota and then to the Knicks. And then later on, they picked Cassius Winston of Michigan State, shipped him as well. They shipped him. They did pick up Al Horford from the Phillies from the 76ers in a deal, but that's probably more of a salary cap type of expiring deal that they could probably work out. That's how this works. That's how this works. Anthony Edwards was the top pick by Minnesota. And if you follow SEC basketball and watched a lot of SEC basketball, Anthony Edwards was one of those type of players that when you saw him in the college game, if you got the really good Anthony Edwards, you knew he was really good NBA material. When he played really well. You knew he had next level ability, but he was a little inconsistent at times. But nevertheless, he has all of the tools that you want from a shooting guard in the NBA. He can really play that position well. And Minnesota had kind of leaned into liking him early. James Wiseman is an interesting pick for Golden State, not because of his size, because he's 7'1", he's got tremendous wingspan and can run the floor really well, but I kind of was wondering if they were going to go LaMelo Ball there, but they don't need, I mean, they at the time, they didn't need another shooter. Now they kind of do. Did you hear about this Klay Thompson injury last night that kind of hit the news? This looks like it's a bad injury, played in a pickup game in Los Angeles, and we don't know the severity of it yet. What a blow that's going to be for Golden State when you think about it. Now, I know a lot of you are like, boo-hoo Golden State, right? You had your run, you made your little dynasty. Now it's time to go pick up the pieces. But Golden State had, you know, Thompson was hurt, Steph Curry was hurt. It's a season that got cut short. They didn't make the playoffs. That's okay. They got the number 2 overall pick. They were going to get a really talented player, likely James Wiseman or Anthony Edwards, depending on where Minnesota was going to go. And they were going to build Dynasty Part 2 with a little break. And it made everybody kind of cringe because how can you be so lucky, right? It's like, oh my God, you're making these championship runs, you're going to the NBA finals, you're winning championships, and even when you're losing championships, you're still at least in the finals with a chance to add another ring and another banner. You have this one season where injuries plague you, and what do you end up with? The number 2 pick, where you're going to get another impact player to join Klay and Curry and Draymond and everybody else. Well, now Klay Thompson is hurt, and we don't know where that's going to affect Golden State. We'll know more about the severity of that injury as the days lead on. He could be done for another full year. And if that's the case, where is Golden State in the hierarchy of Western Conference teams? Some getting better by the minute, and some are going to stay good and stay where they are, like a Lakers team or whatnot. So that was the interesting development last night. LaMelo Ball went 3rd to Charlotte. Again, no surprise in the top 3. You may have had them in a different order, but the top 3 were the top 3. If you want to say, throw them in a hat, pick out 3, fine, I can buy that. I think where this draft got people a little shocked was Patrick Williams at 4. This did not look like – Patrick Williams does not look like a 4th pick in the draft. He's a project. He's kind of raw. This was a little shocking to a lot of people in the analysis. But he did really well in the pre-draft process. That's what they call it, where you can sell your stock as best you possibly can because he's got some tools. But for a team like Chicago that had guys on the board like Obi Toppin and like Devin Vassell, I mean, it was a little shocking to go that far. Onyeka Okongwu was also the center from USC was also still on the board for them. But, you know, again, teams are dealing for need. Ilyas Okoro from Auburn went fifth. He's a good player. And then Okongwu went to sixth to USC, which was a little shocking for Atlanta. They've got John Collins. This was a little shocking because they've got John Collins, another big man. And they've also they've got another kid that they like as well, who's also a big. So it's almost Clint Capella. I'm sorry, Clint Capella. They made him in a trade. John Collins is the one that's skyrocketing. So they've got three bigs. I don't know if you need three bigs, but nevertheless, Kongu is a good player enough to make that selection. He's 6'9". So that's at least the analysis on the draft from last night. But as I said before, one of the problems with following the draft is they come back and they go, yeah, and here's the three-way trade that's sending Ricky Rubio to Minnesota, and then this pick, and this pick are going to this team, and then this pick is going to that team, and you sort of have to follow it with a pencil. Not so much a pen. All right, we'll get some more thoughts on the NBA draft as the morning continues. But coming up, the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals play tonight. It's both teams are 6-3. Both are tied with the Rams for the NFC West division lead. How is that game going to look tonight on a Thursday Night Football as we continue with Wake Up Call?
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. Professional parts people help you find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install those wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The disco beat you hear is Throwback Thursday, 1978. Miracle at the Meadowlands, Herm Edwards. We played to win the game. Recovered a fumble for the Eagles in the final seconds on a botched handoff by the Giants, who all they had to do was run out the clock. And the Eagles win 1917 and 1978, keeping their playoffs hopes alive. I like Herm Edwards. I always thought he was a really cool broadcaster.
Yeah.
He was very honest. Like, he was pretty good. He's still the head coach at Arizona State now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Almost forget about that. But he's the head coach.
I remembered it just recently because he came. He has COVID.
That's right. He has COVID. That's right.
I don't know if he still does because we never hear about people who've recovered from COVID. We just hear that they got it.
Is Bobby Hurley still the basketball coach at Arizona State? I think he is.
Is he? I thought.
Yeah, little Bobby Hurley.
Was that after Buffalo?
Yeah, he was at Buffalo. Then he went to Arizona State.
Okay.
Because you can only stay at Buffalo for so long before your Bobby Hurley and the big schools start calling with the big money. So
it's a feeder school.
That's right. Speaking of Arizona, they're playing in Seattle tonight against the Seahawks. They have not swept Seattle since 2009. That's a long time ago in my calendar.
That is.
Heck, 2020 is a long time on my calendar.
Yeah.
2009, my God. This is a chance for them to do so. They beat the Seahawks in week 7.
Yeah, might as well just be last century.
That's right. Both teams 6-3. Look, it's not a must win for either team. However, if you're Seattle, does it concern you that you're not playing good football right now? Defensively, you're not very good. And Russell Wilson is having turnover problems. I mean, look, if there's a team that can overcome a 3-game losing skid and turn things around, it's going to be the Seahawks. I mean, look at their next 3 games after this one. The Giants, Jets, Washington. I mean, you can't ask for a more walkthrough schedule than that. Eagles, Giants, Jets, and Washington. That's 4 games in a row against teams they should slaughter. But nevertheless, I think there's some momentum here. I don't think you want to be stumbling around. And, you want to win the division, don't you? You don't want to be falling back of the Rams and Cardinals.
Does the winner of this game come out as the new front runner for NFL MVP?
Between Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Because Kyler, I mean, there's a legitimate argument for Kyler Murray.
There's an argument for him, sure.
You know, I mean, I still say it's Aaron Rodgers, but... I mean, you remember the beginning of the season. I mean, you have, what, first five, six, seven games of the season, we were talking about how Russell Wilson's just running away with it.
Well, he still has 28 touchdown passes.
Well, I know,
he's
but
still
I mean,
remarkable.
But I mean, if your team's playing that bad, doesn't that kind of put you down a level?
Yeah. Well, right now they're one dimensional. This is one of the reasons why they, you know, he has more opportunities to turn over the ball because they haven't had Chris Carson in a while. They're not going to have him tonight. So. And defensively, they're not very good. I mean, that's the one problem with the Seahawks is defensively, they're not good.
Don't we just assume they're still good?
We assume they're still good. That's right. We assume they're still good. You know what? This used to plague the Steelers. The Steelers had all these incredible defenses with Bill Cowher, right? And then there were moments where the Steelers defense had a couple of years under Tomlin where the Steelers defense wasn't very good. And there were some injuries. They got picked apart. They lost to some key players. But the image of the Steelers was still in a lot of people's heads that their defense was really good because they had built up this strong reputation. And you kind of forget, yeah, personnel is changing and things are different. Seattle's in the same boat. They're just hurting. But this is one of those games because of the, again, both teams at 6-3. It's not necessarily a must win by any measure because both of these teams are in not only the hunt for the division, but the hunt for the wild card. But it should be so fun because they put on a really nice performance in week 7, which Arizona won 37-34. So again, this should be an outstanding game. And we brought this up earlier this week when we talked about the Cardinals against the Bills. We're kind of doing a little bit of wrap up on Monday. It's this sort of triangle trifecta of circumstances that have occurred with Arizona, right? I mean, first of all, landing Cliff Kingsbury as your head coach when I didn't know if he was going to get a job as a college coach right off the bat, getting dismissed from Texas Tech. Remember, he got let go from Texas Tech. He didn't even finish out the season. So where was he going to go, right? Where was he going to land? Coordinator somewhere? Maybe have to work in the Sun Belt Conference? Who knows? He ends up in the NFL, right? He ends up with a team like Arizona, right? And they got Josh Rosen, right? They're first-round pick out of UCLA. They're quarterback of the future. But then Kyler Murray becomes available. And Kingsbury, who knows Murray very well from the Big 12, says, well, that's my guy. So we're going to get rid, after 1 year, the franchise quarterback that they drafted when I wasn't here. And they gamble. So they gamble on Kyler Murray because they like him and Kingsbury likes him. And they look at Rosen and they've done their year. And instead of saying, it's a year, don't worry, you grow into this position. You develop, you'll learn the speed. They go, nah, you're gone. We're shipping you to Miami. So Kyler Murray is the quarterback. It's a gamble there. You've already taken a gamble on the head coach. Again, repeat, let go from Texas Tech. And then you land DeAndre Hopkins in a trade. Shipping off a running back that you didn't want anyway, you get DeAndre Hopkins, one of the premier wide receiving playmakers in the game, and now you've got this triangle of circumstance that has occurred within the organization where all of it has worked out. Murray is playing fantastic. Kingsbury can coach in this league. They're 6-3. They're among the best of the best in the division. That is the best. You not one of the three things didn't work out. Seattle, remember this offseason. Seattle built their team to win the Super Bowl. Now that 6-3, they're still there. But Arizona, we just thought that they'd be better. Right? Yeah, we just thought they'll be better.
They would be the annoying little brother,
right,
in the NFC West. That just seems to just keep tagging along. And then we made the determination too that once they expanded the playoffs, like, ah, you know what? NFC West is going to have more than two teams.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And with San Francisco falling due to injuries,
yeah,
we thought the Niners would still, because they're the NFC champions, we still thought the Niners would be formidable and be a team that was going to be in the same. So if Arizona was going to finish last but have a decent record, what a good season for them. Seattle, on the other hand, built to win a Super Bowl. The Rams were trying to get back there. San Francisco was trying to get back there. Arizona would have been a great story if they finished 9-7 and was competitive. Now they have a chance to win the division. And if they win tonight, they'll have the lead and the tiebreaker against the Seahawks. Right? And so, I mean, and they have not played the Rams yet. So they play the Rams twice in early December and late in the last game of the season. So this is, again, this is a sit back and enjoy type of game, and really appreciate what Arizona has done to get here. Because I know a few Cardinals fans, not many, a few. It's been a long time since they had something to really be excited about. I mean, ever since, what, Carson Palmer was there a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and now they've got a very formidable team with a good defense and a good young quarterback, a smart young head coach, and one of the most dynamic playmakers in the game. Wake up call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
Going back to 1978, the miracle at the Meadowlands. That's good music in 1978. This is why we do it.
Yes.
Plus, if we did Malice at the Palace, which was, you know, a big, big story in 2004, it's one of the bigger stories of the year. I don't know.
We'd have to fight each other?
Yeah, exactly. We'd have to be all, it's big and angry.
Jump in the Twitter world and start fighting with people?
Yeah. I don't want to be angry. This was 2004 music was probably pretty good, but not like this.
It's not Beast of Burden.
It's not Beast of Burden. Today, every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. By the way, my son did not have COVID, like we thought,
all right,
at the University of Florida.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Florida
still does. He had to fill out this form, I guess, or he was trying to get a test. And he said he had a cough. So he told them he had a cough, trying to get the test.
Yeah, that's COVID.
So he's still feeling good, but he has this cough. But he's no fever, no nothing. He goes to the Florida football game Saturday, and he gets a phone call. They said, you got to leave immediately. You're being quarantined till you get a test. So he goes, he's like, oh my God. So he leaves. He goes to the quarantine room. He's there. And then the next day, he starts feeling terrible. Like, so he's got a cough, and he's got everything, right? No loss of taste or smell, but his description to me, I'm like, you got COVID. So then he got tested, and he texted me yesterday. He goes, nope, I don't. I'm just sick. So he's got to get two before he can be released from the quarantine. Sounds weird. Doesn't it sound very George Orwellian?
It does.
It sounds apocalyptic, like a Twilight Zone show.
Have they inserted the microchip yet?
I know. So I was worried about that. He does not have that. But one of the things, he did not have a fever. I had a thermometer. He took his temperature. He's like, I don't have a fever. I just don't feel very good. So there you go. So Exergen Temporal Scanner. Get one. Take your temperature twice a day. All right. So we go talking about the NFL. Thursday night should be a good one. I'm interested in the game Sunday between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders, because the Raiders have now put 11 people on the COVID-19 reserve list. They added 7 to that roster Wednesday. Some of them are starters. A lot of them are on defense. And yet they're still playing this game on Sunday. The NFL really does want to get these games in. They don't want to mess around with rescheduling.
They don't want to add an extra week or push
back
anything.
There's 11 guys on the COVID-19 list.
Yeah.
11!
And I think, isn't most of them the offensive line?
I think there's offensive line and defense, yeah.
So,
that's insane.
I mean, it's just funny because the Raiders were the only, they beat the Chiefs earlier this season.
They did. They're the only team to beat them. Yeah. The only team to beat the Chiefs.
Ain't going
to
happen this week.
No, I don't think it is. So John Gruden was saying that, he goes, I don't know about the whole defense. I'm not going to get in what list anybody's on. Yeah, you kind of do.
I think it's because he hasn't been given the list yet.
I know.
That there's some intern back there has the list and is just shaking. Like, do I really have to deliver this? Yeah, you got to go give it to him. I'll do it tomorrow.
The NFL has probably sent a secret memo to the teams going, look, here's the deal. We don't care how many people you got suited up. You're playing. So fine players. I don't care. Play guys on offense and defense. We don't care. We're not canceling any of these games anymore. Moving things around.
Do they have full COVID or is it just COVID light?
Yeah, is it COVID light? Exactly. Because if it's COVID light, we'll just send them back out there on that
field. What do we do with the rule? Is it Corona light?
Man, because remember early in the season, it was like if one guy got COVID, they were like, okay, we are closing down. We're going to reschedule that to week 8, move that game to week 10, and move the week 10 game to week 14.
Exactly.
Right now, it's like, well, if there's how many people you got on COVID? 11. How many people you still have? I don't know, 49? Good. You're good enough. Move some guys from the practice squad. You can play.
Yep.
Tell your punter, has he ever been a wide receiver? He can probably play that position, too.
Ah, punter could be the backup quarterback.
That's true. He could be the backup quarterback. Danny White.
See?
Danny White was a punter quarterback for the Cowboys back in the day.
John Elway was a quarterback / punter.
Was he? That's pretty cool.
I know he punted from time to time.
Punted from time to time?
In games. He would.
Oh, I didn't know he was a designated punter.
I doubt he was.
Okay. I didn't know he could do that skill.
No, but every once in a while, I remember seeing games where they would snap it to him, and then he would all of a sudden just kick it. You're like, what? Yeah. Can't do that.
So you mean to tell me Dan Reeves wasn't like, well, whenever we need to punt the ball, we go to John?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I mean, to that credit, you had someone sign Chad Ochocinco.
That's
or is
true.
He back to Chad Johnson? I can't keep
I think
up.
He's back to Chad Johnson.
But remember, he was a place kicker.
Real quick, I see Chad Johnson. Yeah, I see Chad Johnson on Twitter. He like, challenges people to FIFA matches.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Way to keep your name in the paper. Does he wear a Hall of Fame jacket to the FIFA game?
I would. If I had a Hall of Fame jacket, I'd never take it off.
Nah. You'd sleep in it. You'd turn it into a robe.
Yeah, true. True. So... anyway, I'm interested in that game this weekend. By the way, here's another game this weekend. Steelers and Jacksonville. The Steelers should crush Jacksonville. Did you see the kind of love Mike Tomlin is giving Jacksonville?
No.
He said, we aren't playing some MAC team.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I was actually going to bring this up later.
Oh, were you?
I was, because...
sorry.
No, I love this. I absolutely love this. And since you brought it up, we'll go full into the story, because you can always tell... when a winning team's locker room is feeling good.
That's right.
Because there's a little, I'm using air quotes, beef going on between Tomlin and Roethlisberger.
Of course. That's right.
Because when Tomlin made that comment, Roethlisberger kind of took offense to it.
And he should.
And so got to find his response. His response was classic. As we all know, Roethlisberger did play for a MAC school.
He played for Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, so he took a cheap shot at Tomlin. And his response to Tomlin's comment was, he took exception to the comment. He'll clap back at Tomlin once he figures out what conference William and Mary is in.
Good job. That's what I like about Big Ben. He knew immediately where to go with that dig.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to see these two in the locker room now. Where's Antonio Brown to film it?
Exactly. Where's that conversation? We're not playing some MAC team. Come on, man. Don't be knocking the MAC. They give us MAC Wednesdays.
They give us MACtion.
Yeah, that's MACtion. We love MACtion.
You know, Steeler, are you giving us MACtion on Wednesdays?
And
no.
Here's the other thing. Miami of Ohio doesn't like to be called Miami, Ohio.
No.
They want to be called Miami, but there's already another Miami we're all familiar with, so...
like, it's really not Miami, Ohio's fault. I mean, Miami's a bigger city.
They try. Look, I think I told this story before. I was a play-by-play announcer for Air Force, and they were playing Miami of Ohio. And they gave you get press notes. And I got my press notes for the Red Hawks, and it said right in the thing, please do not refer to us as Miami, Ohio. We are Miami. And I'm like, no, you're not Miami.
No, you're not.
No, and I said to the athletic director at Air Force, I said, by the way, I'm going to call them Miami, Ohio, because if somebody's driving around just tuning in, just hits the scan and like, oh, Air Force basketball's on, I don't want them to think they're playing the Hurricanes out of the ACC this early in the season, right? I was like, I want them to know who they're playing, so I kept calling them Miami, Ohio the whole game. I didn't care.
Yeah, well,
what are they
why would you
sue me? I'm not even working for them. If I was working for them, that's fine.
You know what, Miami, Ohio? Be proud.
Be proud
that you're from Ohio.
Be proud that you're from Ohio. Lord knows, look at Ohio State. They spell Ohio in cursive with people.
And they say the Ohio.
Yeah, that's
State.
Right. The Ohio State. Be proud you're from Ohio. I would.
No other school. No, you don't ever hear the Tennessee Volunteers. You know, you don't hear that.
I like Ohio. I like Ohio, so I would be very proud if I was from Ohio.
Yeah.
I'd be pointing it. I also would be pointing out, look, nothing against Miami, Florida, but I would say we are not Miami, Florida. We are Miami, Ohio.
No, we're not Florida. We're not Florida,
exactly.
Man. We're Ohio, man.
See, they're looking at it the wrong way, right?
They're looking
at it as saying we have to put the state after our name because everyone's going to confuse us with another school. We shouldn't be the one that does that. Well, be proud of where you are. Look, I went to South Carolina. We call ourselves USC. We're not USC, the USC. We're right. USC. Here's the problem. Even though the school, South Carolina, is older than the University of Southern California and therefore should own the rights to USC, we don't. It doesn't belong to us.
No.
It's hard. It's in the public perception. We're not.
How about this one? How about if I throw this one out to you? SDSU. What do you think of?
I think of San Diego State.
Of course you do.
Right.
You don't think of South Dakota State University?
No, I don't.
Which is a legitimate school and does have a very legitimate basketball team.
That's right.
Every once in a while you come across an SDSU, you're like, "Whoa, that's not the right team."
Very true. Very true.
No, but, I mean, in most years too, isn't Miami, Ohio the second best team in Ohio?
They've done very well in their history.
I'm trying to think of the other schools that are in Ohio.
Collegiate. So Toledo plays football. Ohio Bobcats play football.
Yeah, not really.
Who else?
Cincinnati
Bearcats. They're in the top 25.
Yeah, but that's
in the top 10, I think.
But they're more known for basketball, right?
True.
Would you say?
Oh, that going back to Huggins.
Huggins days.
Back in the day. Back in the Huggins days.
Kenyon Martin.
You and I are thinking the same person. Yeah.
Well, because we can't name any other Bearcat.
That's right. Speaking of which,
Kenyon Martin, the circle completed. Kenyon Martin Jr. drafted last night.
I saw that. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good.
Doing his best LeVar Ball impression.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting his boys in.
And LeVar Ball got himself another kid in the NBA in the top three.
Top three.
Good job. Good
job,
LeVar Ball.
So the next one.
Just stay away from your kids.
LiAngelo's next, right?
LiAngelo. I'm glad you brought that up. I was trying to remember the other Ball kid.
Yeah. He has to go four now.
Okay, is he the Cooper Manning without the back injury?
See, the rumor has always been, this is the rumor.
Is LiAngelo better than the other two?
Well, this is the rumor according to the gospel of LeVar, that he is better than Lonzo and LaMelo.
Okay. So where, I don't follow the Ball family as close as others. Where is LiAngelo? Is he a junior or senior? Is he
gotta be somewhere?
Are we waiting for the next 2 or 3 years for LiAngelo? Or I might have to look him up now to see where this goes.
He's playing for the Oklahoma City Blue of the NBA G League.
Okay. So how come we don't know the background of J.J. Watt's dad?
Because he's quiet.
Right. So, the Watt family put three kids into the NFL. And yet, I don't know anything about Watt mother, Watt father.
All I know is that they built a subway in their backyard.
That's right. They did build a subway in their backyard. But I don't know anything. For some reason, we needed to know everything about LeVar Ball before he put one kid into the NBA. Before he put one kid into the NBA, there was already stories about his background, and this is what he did, and this is where he went. This is married his wife. Now he's got two. He's got two in the NBA. If he puts a third one in there, my God, what is he going to do? Write a bestseller? Or has he already done that? And I missed it at my local Borders.
All right, LiAngelo's the second kid.
Okay, where is he?
Well, he's just in the G League. I guess we're skipping over him.
Well, then he's not as good as Lonzo or LaMelo.
I see. I thought he was the third kid, but LiAngelo.
You're not watching the Facebook reality television show,
sorry,
Ball in the Family?
I haven't caught that yet.
You haven't caught that yet?
I don't know what time it's on.
That online sensation?
I mean, LiAngelo did go to UCLA. You remember him mostly from
no, I don't.
You know LiAngelo mostly from being arrested in China.
Yes. Okay. Now I do remember that. I remember that story. That's right. Yes, I do remember that.
Is he the black sheep Ball of the family?
Well, if he doesn't make it to the NBA, how are you going to have family functions?
At least Cooper had a reason.
That's right. Cooper had a legit reason not to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that was sad. And then the other brothers are probably not teasing him, even though you want to tease. But
No,
I can't tease Cooper. He had a back injury, spine injury. That was too dangerous for him to play football. So we love our brother. If he didn't make it because he was just a failure, then we would pick on him. But he wasn't. He was not hurt. He was hurt. So he had to give up his dreams. But the other Ball kids, you can't have a legitimate conversation about what you're doing in life if the other one's in the G League.
Well, I mean, he
the other ones are talking about getting $100 a day per diem, and he's like, yeah, we ate ramen noodles and tap water.
Well, he hasn't had a chance to play yet either because the Blue only played one game last season before getting shut down by
COVID.
That's
right, before getting shut down by COVID.
He didn't even get into the game.
God, my God.
So, all right, yeah, LeAngelo, he's the black sheep ball of the family.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. Next hour, good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk to our good friend Lee Ellis, the Australian, on the NBA draft and the NBA moves that happened yesterday. Kind of reshaped a lot of teams. That's coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. 1978 Throwback Thursday. Billy Joel, who once married Christy Brinkley. Do we always have to preface anything with Billy Joel with that he married Christy Brinkley?
Yes.
We should, right?
We should.
That's an amazing accomplishment. I don't care how many records you sell. I don't care if that you broke down the Cold War Iron Curtain when you went to the Soviet Union to play concerts in the 1980s.
I don't care that you gave us a history lesson in a song.
That's right. You married Christy Brinkley.
Married Christy Brinkley.
I remember when Billy Joel played in Russia in the 1980s, and it was broadcast around the world. It was such a big, big deal. Radio stations around the globe broadcast the concert. It was a big, big deal that Billy Joel went there to play music. That they let him go there to play American music. That's how old I am to remember that.
Yep.
Nevertheless. All right, NBA draft last...
Around the same time they got Pepsi and Levi jeans.
That's right. NBA draft last night. We're going to talk to Lee Ellis coming up in the next hour as we'll get his grades and thoughts. The Knicks, Leon Rose, got Obi Toppin, who basically, do we give credit to Leon Rose for getting Obi Toppin, or do we just say, that's exactly who you should have taken, even if you know nothing about basketball? If you were just given the job with no experience at all, you still would have taken Obi Toppin. But he's getting an A-plus for that move, nonetheless, as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.